Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Last week, we began a brief series of episodes on addressing objections to discernment. You know, what to say when you get pushback and objections for sharing an article, warning against false teachers, and why those objections aren't usually biblical. And in our first episode last week, we dealt with two common objections Michelle and I often hear about the discernment articles that we write. The first one is, it's hypocritical for you to say a female Christian celebrity shouldn't preach to men because you have a blog men can read and a podcast that men can listen to. So we get that one a lot. And then the second one is you shouldn't warn against false teachers. You should just pray for them. So ladies, if you haven't heard that podcast yet, we encourage you to go to awordfitlyspoken.life or find us on your favorite podcast platform and give that episode a listen.
Yes, definitely. You'll want to be sure to catch all the episodes in this series. And if you have a minute, leave us a comment and let us know what you think, okay?
Yeah.
So tonight, we're dealing with two more objections to discernment. One of them that you've probably seen or heard when warning against a false teacher is this one: but look how many people this teacher is helping. I've grown so much in my relationship with the Lord because of her. Yeah. Well, no, you haven't. I'm sorry to be blunt about that, but you really haven't. You may think you've grown in your relationship with the Lord by listening to a false teacher, but not by any biblical definition of Christian growth. An emotional bond with a teacher who tells you inspiring stories from her life to make you feel good, or tells you how awesome you are, or wallows in your misery with you, that doesn't equal Christian growth. That's just getting your itching ears scratched. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says this: for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And we know that word passions means their feelings, their emotions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now, if you're not enduring sound teaching and you're accumulating teachers to suit your own feelings and emotions instead of following pastors and teachers who rightly handle God's word and teach you biblical truth, whether you like it or not, that is not helping you. It is harming you. It is crippling your growth in Christ. It's impossible to grow to biblical Christian maturity, holiness, endurance, wisdom, servanthood, the knowledge of God's word, increasing fruit of the Spirit. It's impossible to grow in these godly ways by following someone who teaches false doctrine, just like it's impossible to grow physically healthy by eating a diet of poison or junk food. The only kind of growing that you can do by following a false teacher is growing away from the Lord, despite what you may think or feel.
Yeah, that's right. False teachers really are not helping anyone but themselves. And that's just, I mean, I know that sounds like opinion, but it isn't. This is actually from the Bible. And here's what Paul has to say about that in Titus 1:11. They, the false teachers, must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. So what this says is that those false teachers aren't helping the people that they're teaching. They are upsetting whole families and maybe even whole churches with the division that they are creating. And what's their motivation? Is it money, fame, attention, self-fulfillment, or some other form of selfish, shameful gain? That answer is probably, because if they really wanted to help people the way God says is helpful, they would humbly and selflessly teach the truth of Scripture.
Yeah, that's so true. And you know what else does not indicate that a teacher is helping people grow in their walk with the Lord? Her popularity or the size or apparent success of her ministry, that doesn't indicate that she's doing what's godly. You know, the number of Facebook followers she has, the number of retweets she gets, having a book on the bestseller list, crowds of people showing up at her conferences, none of that proves that she's helping people God's way or teaching God's word correctly. And you want to know how I know that? Jesus. Yeah. Jesus always taught biblical truth. Mm-hmm. And yet look what happens during his ministry. At the beginning of John 6, he's the featured speaker, we might say, at an event where 5,000 men show up, plus women and children. So possibly 10,000 or even more people. And I mean, even by megachurch standards, that's a big crowd. So they're there for the show, the miracles, you know. But then Jesus starts teaching some hard biblical truths. And they don't like the sound of that so much. Yeah. And here's what we read in John 6:66 after that teaching session. It says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. In other words, get this, Jesus's ministry shrank in size because he taught sound biblical doctrine and the people didn't want to hear it. So the size of a ministry is not an indicator of whether or not it is biblical.
Yeah, and that's so true. Even today, you know, we often see false teachers and false churches with huge audiences. You know, and I think of like the Joel Osteen Lakewood Church down there in Texas. It is enormous. And meanwhile, doctrinally sound teachers and churches usually have much smaller followings. One last thought on this idea of a false teacher supposedly helping you in your walk with the Lord. The so-called good works that a ministry performs is not an indication that this teacher is teaching sound biblical doctrine. I mean, think about it. Mormons do good works all the time. The Red Cross helps people. And think about this. Several medical procedures that have helped many people were discovered in World War II concentration camps during torturous experiments on inmates. So does the fact that those medical procedures have helped so many people justify the torture that the Nazis inflicted on their victims? Of course not. Nonsense. Neither does any sort of help that a ministry provides could possibly justify twisting God's word and teaching false doctrine. So the ends do not justify the means, especially in Christianity.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Well, the second objection that Amy and I often hear when we warn against false teachers, and maybe you've heard it too, sadly, I know that many women have heard this even from their own pastors and fellow church members, is this one. You're creating division and disunity by speaking out against that teacher. You've heard that one before, right, Amy?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times. If I had a nickel, I'd be a wealthy woman. But
me too.
You know, and it's so unbiblical when people make this argument, Michelle. It demonstrates a lack of knowledge about what the Bible actually teaches, because the Bible teaches the exact opposite. You know, Scripture is abundantly clear that it is the false teachers, not those speaking out against them, who are creating division and disunity. So let's take a look at some of those verses. First, we're going to take a look at a passage in Jude. Just for a little context, remember that Jude is the epistle that urges us to contend for the faith against false teachers. That is what the whole letter is about, including verses 17 through 19, which say this, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit." And then Romans 16, verses 17 through 18 says this, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but in their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." So Scripture makes it very clear that the false teachers, it's them, it's them themselves, and those who bring their false teachings into the church, these are the ones responsible for creating division, not Christians who object to doctrine on biblical grounds, right? So so people twist that, don't they?
They really do. It's so, so true. I know that many of us, you know, you and me are our listeners. Stop doing that, I don't think. Our listeners, all of us, a lot of us have been in the situation in our own churches where the ministry, women's ministry leader decides that you know, the women's Bible, I put Bible in quotes, women's Bible study class is going to use a book by Beth Moore or Priscilla Schreier or Lisa Terkerst or Lisa Harper or whoever the false teacher du jour is. Mm-hmm. And discerning women like us go to the leadership, and just as kindly and lovingly as we possibly can, we point out what's unbiblical about this teacher, and we're made out to be the bad guys causing disunity and division because we don't want false doctrine taught in our own church. So ladies, I know from firsthand experience just how difficult that is. So I want to share some verses of encouragement with you. If you've ever experienced being treated like a pariah by other professing Christians just for standing firm on biblical truth. Yeah. This is Matthew 5, 10 through 12. It's right at the tail end of the Beatitudes. And it says this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my," that's Jesus's, "on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Mm-hmm. So think back to the Old Testament. Think of the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the garbage and the mistreatment they went through. And you know, that persecution, it wasn't at the hands of atheists and pagans. It was at the hands of God's own people whom they were trying to declare the truth of God's word to. When Jesus was crucified, that wasn't the secular Roman government's idea. He was betrayed by a brother Jew into the hands of the so-called supposedly church leaders of his day, the high priest and the Sanhedrin. God's people inside the church, not unbelievers. So when you suffer for the sake of Christ, for standing firm on scripture, even at the hands of fellow church members or your pastor or other professing Christians, rejoice, be glad. You are in good company with Jesus and the prophets and the apostles too. And think about what that passage says. You are blessed. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Your reward in heaven is great, not small, great. That's a lot to take joy in. Suffering is temporary. It's only going to last as long as this life lasts, but joy is eternal. So when you stand on the truth of God's word and lovingly contend for the faith against false doctrine, you are not the one creating division, and you are not the problem. The solution to this problem of division and disunity is for false teachers to repent of their false doctrine, learn how to rightly handle and teach God's word, and begin teaching sound doctrine, not for discerning Christians to keep quiet.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess to wrap this up, I love how you ended this, Michelle, with words of encouragement. And I know how hard it is. Like, I have first experience too, several times over, and it really isn't easy. I mean, as much as we know these verses of encouragement, sometimes it's easy to get anxious, to feel down, because these are attacks or words of disparagement from fellow Christians, from people you care about, who you thought cared about you, and they're coming against you for sharing some things. So perhaps if you're in that situation and you're praying and crying out to God, be thankful for these trials. I think that it's very hard to be thankful, but one passage that you could go to is in the book of James. Just start at chapter 1 and start reading, where it talks about trials and temptations and who they're for. They're for you to grow, and they're also for God's glory, right? So, you know, consider Absolutely. It pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Doesn't say if you face trials, it's when. Because
That's
as soon as this one's over, you're going to be on to the next one, because you know the Bible says that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so we want to let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So be encouraged, sisters, and you'll be humble when you present these things, but know that not everybody's eyes will be opened at the same time. Right. Plant those seeds, though, and see what happens. Put it in the
Amen
Lord's
to
hand.
That.
Yeah. Amen. So that is going to wrap up this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at awordfitlyspoken.life. I'm going to put a bunch of links in there. And if you enjoy A Word Fitly Spoken and listen to us on a podcast platform like iTunes or Podbean, there's a whole bunch of them on our website you can click on. But would you please consider leaving us a sincere, positive review that will encourage others to listen? You know, it's a great way to help us get sound doctrine out to a world that is saturated with false doctrine. So ladies, keep contending for the faith. And until next time, walk worthy.